Question 66. Who made me a judge or divider over you? Luke 12, 13 through 15. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he may divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. It's interesting that Jesus wanted no part of this squabble, though they sought him to be a fair and impartial judge. His reputation preceded him. Jesus was known to display wisdom and justice in all he said or did. So much was the case that this man searched for him to speak to his brother about being selfish with the inheritance. Solomon was known to be an excellent judge of people, and after the case of the overlain baby, he was also known as a divider. The scriptures say, All Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. I suppose that was the case with Christ. One does not have to exemplify a great amount of right judgment before it's evident, for society is awkwardly lacking in the area of true wisdom. On this day, this brother went home none the richer, none the wiser. To be sure, he probably heard little else after his request was quashed. As the Lord went on to explain that we should beware of covetousness, this man's mind whirled with possible additions to his plea to make the Savior change his mind. Perhaps he could deny covetousness and say it was for beneficent reasons that he needed the money, or maybe he could say... As his mind raced and recited retorts, he realized the master had finished speaking and that he'd not heard what he'd said. If he had only heard the Lord's answer, he might have become a different man. Many of us in modern Christianity make Jesus a divider of wisdom and also a divider of doctrines and theology. We use his words to prove our case or way of thinking. Surely we're all guilty of this. We use the words of Christ as a lever to add weight and moment to our ideas and pet doctrines. We should exercise great care when we do this. For in doing so, Jesus is made to be in agreement with us instead of showing ourselves in agreement with him. It's a fine line, to be sure, but nonetheless, a line we must avoid overstepping. We should have a great deal of trouble envisioning Jesus involved in our petty doctrinal debates and becoming a divider or judge. In these matters, we may hear him ask, Who made me a judge or divider over you? Then, as in the story, we could expect him to expose our selfish motives and call for our repentance. We cause him to be a divider over us when we use his words to force our brethren to accept us as we are. We do this by using the Bible to prove our case. If we want to drink wine, we say, Jesus drank wine. Tell him, Jesus. Tell him that it's okay to drink wine. In times like this, we need to hear him say within us, Who made me a judge over you? Then we should expect to hear him expose our motives, our real objectives, just as he did to the brother that tried to use him in this way. He may say to the one wishing to drink wine with a clear conscience, Beware of escaping into your bottle. Beware of desires that can overtake you. Beware of drunkenness. Sometimes, when trying to prove a doctrinal point with the Bible, we may find conflicting written testimony there. If we assume that the clarity of a doctrine or commandment is in some way proportional to its importance, and extra-biblical sources are eliminated, we'll find that few of our doctrines are really important doctrines at all. When we use the Bible or words of Jesus to prove a position or idea, we make him partake in something that he may or may not want to be a participant. When we make him a judge or a divider between others and us, we make him involuntarily arbitrate and decide between brothers. And not to mention the fact that all this is done through the filter of human thinking. We should not make him a divider or judge. He conducts business on a personal level through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, guiding, teaching, and revealing himself. Little can be gained in the heart of your opponent by proving your case, other than hardness and stubborn refusal or humiliation and reluctant submission. Jesus asked, "Who made me a judge over you?" What can we really prove anyway? Though preponderance of evidence can lead to conclusion, can anyone factually prove that Jesus rose from the dead? Can anyone prove to you that faith in Christ will save you? Is it a matter of fact that we conduct ourselves in certain ways on certain days or believe certain things? Everything that is lasting about the faith we have in Christ has been given to us by revelation, by the Father, through the Holy Spirit. Even when things are proven by Scripture, the time comes when they must be accepted and adopted willingly, by faith, by the one to whom they were proven. When all this is said and done, there is little to be gained by wrestling the Scriptures to convince, convict, or condemn. If we concede that Jesus wants nothing to do with this sort of thing, and that he is more concerned with the person and the purpose behind the action, we have little to prove, little to teach, and little to gain by calling on Christ to arbitrate our silly debates. Jesus looks behind every question and sees the inquirer. He looks behind every action and sees the motive. He looks through man's questions and sees through man. This is why when Jesus was asked to make my brother divide the inheritance, he answered, "Beware of covetousness." This is why his answer to, "Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth," was, "Why tempt ye me?" When the Pharisee Nicodemus said, "Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God," Jesus answered, "Ye must be born again." Jesus had no interest in playing word games then, nor does he now. He's interested in changing men's lives, making them whole beings and capable of acceptable service. When you arbitrarily place him into petty and self-centered squabbles, his ministry is cheapened and his words are forced to do what they were never intended to do. Pray that your heart is mollified and made accepting of his words, and that everyone in your realm of influence as well. This is all you can do, and still remain faithful to his ministry. You need not make him a divider. You need not make him a judge. The next opportunity you have to prove to someone that you're right by taking out your Bible and pointing to Scriptures, hear Christ whisper in your ear, "Who made me a judge or divider over you?"